Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, last time we spoke about the Lord Jesus dealing with those who were basically their life was ended, right? And some whose life was ended. We met the widow with her son. You know, again, if her son was dead, you know, she had no means of making any money. So her life was basically over. Lazarus, he was the brother of Martha and Mary. They were unmarried. He was the man. Their life could have been over too. But the Lord came in and both of those people, and he miraculously helped them and changed their life. And I'm going to look at another one in Luke chapter 17. And I like how the Lord, he always comes in. Every time you think life is over and there's no hope, he always comes in and gives you hope, gives you new perspective. And the reason why this is dear, this scripture is dear to my heart, and the Lord gave me this verse this season. I've read this verse, this passage many times, but we've just went through Thanksgiving, and this is a passage about being thankful. And we read Luke 17, verse 11, and I'll read it through. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And so when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to them, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" And so the reason why when I was reading this, and I love this passage, was the questions the Lord Jesus Christ asked and his phrases that he said. But we're going to go from the top. And I may not be long, but I just want us to get the crux of this and to really delve deep into this passage. And it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." And we know from John that the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings with each other. But I like how the Lord Jesus Christ always went through Samaria. He always went to the people who nobody wanted to deal with. The society, you know, their society was like, we don't want to deal with them. But the Lord always made sure he went through Samaria. He said they passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And we know if you were a leper in those days, there was no cure, right? Your life is over. You catch leprosy, you're going to die. And leprosy was going to, you know, basically eat away your flesh, eat away your body. You know, I saw some pictures where people's nose would fall off, their ear would fall off. Basically, it would rot their body, right? And what happens here is that, you know, it says that they were 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And I'm thinking about them being together, a bunch of lepers being together. And you know what they say? Misery loves company. You have something going on with you and you can find as much people, you have problems, the same problems, you find everybody congregating together. 9 of these people were Jews and 1 of these persons Samaritan. They didn't care that they had no dealing. They were all together. They were all meeting together here. And it says that they were 10 men who were lepers together and they stood afar off. And that's the thing, is that once you are in a place of sin, once you're a sinner, that's where you are. That's your position away from Christ. You're far off, right? You're far off. They stood far off. But it says that they lifted up their voices and said to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." And that's a beautiful thing, that whenever there's a cry of mercy, it reaches the Lord Jesus Christ's ears. Is that there's never a cry of mercy that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't listen to. Is that, you know, you can cry unto him. It says that they knew, like, this is their only hope. And it says that, and when I was reading this, it says the word master, is that they knew who he was. Because that word master is only used 7 times in scripture. And it was used by the disciples most of the time. When they said master, teacher, when they, like, ownership of who he is. So they knew who he was, right? They knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. It wasn't like, they're like, this is the last ditch effort kind of thing. They knew this person can save us. This person can help us, right? And there's many people today, they know they cannot get saved by their own, right? They know they need the Savior, right? They know who he is, but they don't want to cry to him. But these men had reached to the point where they said, you know what? We can't go anywhere else. This is the only person who can help us. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And this is what needs to be done. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, cry out for mercy. He's willing to hear your voice. And it says, so when he saw them, so that's another part I like about the scripture, is that they cried out their voice, right? And it says the Lord Jesus saw them. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees everything that you're going through, right? Sometimes we feel like they're alone. We're alone. I'm sure these guys felt like, you know what? Nobody cares about us. They had to stand afar off because of you know, in Leviticus 14, we know that they had to stay far off. You know, they had to cry unclean, unclean. They had to do all these different things. And so we know they couldn't be close to the crowd. And people would just pass them by, like, you know, don't even look at them. But it says the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw them. And he said to them. And that's the thing, is that sometimes when we're in our trials, when we're in our troubles, we feel like nobody sees us. But I want to encourage you that the Lord Jesus Christ sees you. He knows what you're going through. And Lord Jesus Christ says to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. And so we know that they were supposed to go to the priest, and the priest would basically declare them clean, right? Or unclean. And the Lord Jesus Christ always going to follow scripture, right? He's always going to stay true to his word. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his word has says many things in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. We know many things, how you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. You confess it with your mouth. So all these scriptures are here, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing them back to his scriptures and saying, like, go do this. But they had to go out in faith. And that's the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling us, but he wants us to come to him in faith. They could have said, you know what? We heard about another guy he touched. Why he's telling us to go to the priest, right? Why he's telling us to do this other thing, right? But the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to us personally sometimes. He's saying, go do this, right? And they went out in faith. And it says, as they went out in faith, they were cleansed, right? And so sometimes when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ's voice, blessings come, right? If you follow his voice and he's calling on to you today to be saved, if you're not saved, you can know for surety that he'll have mercy on you and you will be saved. You will be cleansed. But as we went, as they started to go, right? One of them, when he saw he was healed, returned. And so he was going, right? And he realized, you know what? Man, you know what I'm saying? You know, as he's going, probably walking, he's looking at his skin and he's seeing everything turn. And he's like, you know what? I got to go back and thank the Lord. I got to go back and return. And he says that he returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And that's the thing, we can't be ashamed of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, right? Sometimes we want to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, we say, I'm a Christian. You know, like, you know, or we try to be quiet about it. But it says with a loud voice here, it means that he was screaming. He wanted to tell everybody, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. And you cannot beat somebody with a testimony, with an experience, right? Is that they want, when the Lord has changed your life from what you have been to what you are today, trust me, you have to say, this is miraculous. He said with a loud voice and glorify God. And this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to return and with a loud voice, let everybody know the Lord Jesus Christ has changed our life. And it says that he glorified God. But also he did something else. It says that he fell down on his face at his feet. And this is the posture we're supposed to have. We're supposed to come down in humbleness, knowing that nobody could save us. Nobody could help us. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can do that. It's that he came down on his face. He was humble, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. And I was reading one writer. He says, this is the posture, and that's the place. We're always supposed to be at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. You know, so we see at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet that I believe Mary wiped her hair with his feet. Right, we see that we see other places where, you know, people sat at his feet to learn. We see here that this man is coming to worship at his feet also. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to see, wants us to do. He wants us to come humbly, to come down, bow down, and to come at his feet. And it says that he gave him thanks. And I like how the Bible puts in, and he was a Samaritan. This wasn't, you know, all the Jewish guys, they didn't come back. The Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. The Jewish guys, they left. They never came back. The other nine, right? But the Lord Jesus Christ, in the word of God, it says, and he was a Samaritan. Is that sometimes the people who we look down on, sometimes the people we say, well, you know, the Lord can't do anything with them. This is the people who are the most thankful, the most humble, who come down to his feet and gave thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And as we go, it says, and Jesus answered and said, we're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And when the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question, I know he knew where they were. But it's almost like I want to understand why he would ask. I wonder if his heart was broken, right? To know that he did this for these guys, right? He changed their life and they couldn't even thank him. I mean, it takes nothing to thank somebody, right? I mean, you know, he's not asking for anything, but it's like almost like, where are the 9? And the guy never answered him, right? But I like how he didn't answer him and the Lord continued to talk. But I want to say that this guy wasn't focused on the other people. See, when you're not doing the right thing or you're living in sin, right? There's always a crowd, right? There was 10 of them. There was a crowd of people. But as soon as his life was changed, there's only one person came back. You know what that tells me? It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is, where you're from, who you are. It doesn't matter. You have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. And there was nobody else. He came to the Lord himself. And those other guys who went, and you know what? Maybe the priest would have said they were clean. So they feel there's no need for me to go back to the Lord. But there's many people today who, and I'm saying this in application, that they are focused on the religious systems of the world. They're cleansed. They look clean to everybody else, right? I go to church. I'm a good person. I do good works, right? You know what I'm saying? So they feel like, well, I don't need Jesus. I don't need to go back to Jesus. They said I'm clean, right? So I don't need anything else. But the problem is that I wonder if these guys later on, they would have kept on looking at their skin wondering, I wonder if he's going to come back, right? Because they haven't gone back to the Lord. So maybe they would have, in the back of their minds, they would have doubted. They would have thought, well, maybe this would have come back. Maybe what could have happened, right? This man had a surety that the Lord had healed him. It says, we're not the 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? We're not any of they found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner. And that's how we were. We were far away from the Lord. We were foreigners. But I'm glad to say this morning that he's not ashamed to call me a brother. He's not ashamed to call you brethren if you are saved, right? So we were far off. We were people who were foreigners. But today he can call us saints. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful to know that we have a Lord who can take our position, our position where we are far away from him, those who were unclean, those who were had no dealings with him, but he can call us today. He can call us saints. He can call us brethren. It's a beautiful thought. But I keep on delving into this matter. We're not there 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? The Lord wants us to be thankful. The Lord wants us to worship him. The Lord desires worshipers. And that's what we have to realize is that, you know, it's not enough just to be saved. It's not enough just to be cleansed, right? It's not enough just to live, you know, you can live a Christian life and you can do good and you can do all these things, but the Lord wants us to come back and give thanks to him. And I believe when we give thanks to him, we can be more of a blessing to others. And that's where his cry was. That's why I believe the Lord Jesus Christ's heart was breaking, because he was asking, where they're not 10, where are the 9? And that's the question I want to ask you this morning. Where are the 9? Where are we in that 10? Are we in the 9 or are we the 1? Are we coming back to the Lord? And you know, maybe these guys have legitimate reasons not to come back. I'm sure they've been away from their families for I don't know how many years. Because as a leper, you know, you couldn't be with your families. Maybe they had wives, they had children. They say, you know what? I got to go back home to my children. I'm going to go back home to my wife. You know what? I had I had businesses, I had things. Well, now I can start those things back again. My life was over, but now I have new lease in life. And sometimes the Lord puts us in a position where we have new lease in life. We could be going through a sickness, an illness, something that we could go through as an application for this, is that we could be going through something and the Lord could come in for us in a miraculous way. You know what he said? You know, and where we're going through, we say, Lord, if you bring me through this, I will serve you. But as soon as we get, it's over, you know what happens? We find those reasons why we can't go back, why we can't think. You know, we find reasons why we can't do this, why we can't do that. But the Lord is sitting there, he's crying. He's saying, where are the nine? Where are you this morning? I want to encourage you to go back to the Lord and to thank him for all he's brought you through, all where he brought you through in his life. And he said to him, go, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And so there's a special blessing when we return back to the Lord. You know, these guys were blessed, right? All the 10 were blessed because their lives was over and they were healed. But they were just healed from leprosy. Now, this guy was not only healed from leprosy, but the Bible tells us that he was always healed from his sin. And so we can apply to us today, but I want to apply this to unbelievers too, is that it's not enough just to feel that you're clean or that you can go in a religious way and feel that you think. The only way you can be wholly clean is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing him as your Lord and Savior. But I want to apply it to us also, is that when you return back, there's a special blessing for those who return back to the Lord for being thankful. And you know, there's also studies today that talk about gratitude and thankfulness. I've seen it all over. They said people who wake up and they say, you know, affirmations of being thankful and being, you know, and gratitude, they say they end up having their day ends up being 80% better than people who don't wake up who are thankful. So even the world knows for people who are being thankful, you know what I'm saying, you know, that you have a better day, you have a better life. But what about us as Christians? What if we wake up every day? What if we wake up every day and we say, thank you, Lord, for what you brought me through. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. Trust me, not only you have a better day, you have a better life, and you'll be a blessing towards others. Your faith has made you well. And the Bible said, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, arise and go your way. What's the way? We know that the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he says, arise and go your way. What's the way? I believe the way here is a life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. A life where the Lord Jesus Christ can say, you know what? I'm proud of this person. Arise and go your way, I believe, is that us going and telling others about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. I know this man. When he left the Lord, if he was screaming and crying and saying with a loud voice, he didn't care what people thought, what people said, imagine when he left the Lord. He probably went and told everybody his life was changed. And that's the thing. That's the beauty about us when we go back and we're thankful for the Lord. It gives us a energy, a purpose. I don't even know how to explain it in words. But I know anybody who's gone through something, right? Anybody who's gone through something, I can tell you that if you go back and you're thankful to the Lord will say, you know what? Go rise, go your way, and he'll give you that energy to tell others. This is just what I wanted to encourage us with. And again, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ saying, but where are the nine? Where are the nine? And we all have to just look at our own lives and say, where are we in that group? Right? There only 10% out of nine, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, only a percentage of those people think, and it happens all throughout the world today, right? Only a certain amount of people will come. They'll find legitimate reasons, they'll find things to give thanks to the Lord. But I want to encourage us. There's a lot to be thankful for. There's a lot to be thankful. As we just went through Thanksgiving, and I looked around, and I know some. I was talking to someone. He was saying, "Well, I don't have this. I don't have this. I don't have that." And I said, "Look, there's a lot to be thankful for. You're healthy, right? We have families, right? But not only that, the Lord, each of us who are saved, the Lord has changed our lives. The Lord has changed our life, and that's a lot to be thankful for. There's many people walking here today, and that's why I love to share the Lord Jesus Christ with people, because there's many people who you walk through, you see they're heading to a crisis eternity. And you know what? The Lord thought about me so much that he saved me. Look, you know how much lepers were in that day? It's probably with tons. Nobody who got leprosy could be healed except the Lord healed them. There was no cure. So imagine, out of all maybe thousands and thousands of lepers who were there, 10 were healed there, right? Only one came back. And so you think about it, they were blessed. Like, we are blessed. The Lord saved us. And I don't know why he saved me. I can't tell you why, but we're all called according to his purpose. And I want to encourage all of us, let's go back to thank the Lord. Let's go with a loud voice and let everybody know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Let us go humbly. Let's go to his feet and say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for what you have done for us. And let's change the world. The only way we could change the world is by letting others know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and draw them to Christ by the experiences we have had with him. And may we be encouraged for his name's sake.
Amen.
Very quickly, I'd like to look at the 11th leper. So if we could turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And this is on page 1570 in the Chapel Bible. So there were 10 lepers that we heard of. One came back to give thanks. Well, here's another leper. And I don't know if he was among the 10. I highly doubt it. But here we have the 11th leper that we actually know by name. Mark chapter 14, verse 1, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him, that is the Lord Jesus, by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you will do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. We'll just stop there. And it is told. Every time you read the Gospel of Mark, you hear of what this woman did. This man, Simon Leper, he is hosting a meal. He's hosting a dinner. It says he's a leper. We have an assumption, and I think it's an accurate one. How could he be hosting a meal if he's a leper? Because if you're a leper, the disease is so contagious that you have to cry out, unclean, unclean, and anyone who's near you would avoid being in contact with you. But here he is. So he clearly is someone who the Lord Jesus must have healed, because only the Lord Jesus healed lepers. And here he is. We talk about being grateful. What is he? How did he show his gratefulness? He served the meal. He was hospitable. He had the Lord Jesus in his house. He served him a meal. But he not only served him, he served his followers. The disciples were with him. And we know one of them was complaining about this. We have details in other Gospels about this. Sometimes it's a little confusing when you read this story. But the Lord healed Simon. And there's some very interesting things about this. This woman who poured this oil upon the Lord's head, as it's recorded in the Gospel of Mark and also in the Gospel of Matthew, this was a very expensive gesture. This was someone who saved up money, a large amount, and you can do the math when you get home how much this was. It's estimated at 300 denarii, and she poured it over the Lord, starting with his head. It reminds us of Aaron, the priest, when he was consecrated to be the high priest under the Levitical system of worship, and the oil was poured on his head. The Psalms tell us this. And it dripped down his head, all the way down his garments, to the toes of his feet. And she does this, and we know the reason. The Lord tells us in verse 6 through 9, She already knew he was going to give his life at the cross. She believed when the Lord told them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and by men, by wicked hands are going to kill me, but on the third day I will rise again. And she believed it. The rest of the disciples weren't sure what he was talking about and even said, not so, Lord, Peter said. Let's turn to John chapter 12 just for the last connection. John chapter 12. And we'll read the first verse there. Then 6 days before the Passover, did you get that? 6 days before the Passover. Now, I just want to make a comment about that. The Passover was on Thursday night. The Lord was arrested Thursday night after he ate the Passover. And he, all night long, he was ushered back and forth between Pilate, the high priest, Herod, and he'd get an ounce of sleep. Friday morning at 9 a.m., he was hanging on the cross. So Thursday night was the Passover. And it says here, 6 days before the Passover. This is when he heals Lazarus. So you go back in time. Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday. He heals Lazarus on the Sabbath day. Another reason they want to kill him. Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. This is a flashback in verse 1. Verse 2, now it's 2 days before the Passover. Verse 2 is 2 days before the Passover. How do we know that? Well, Mark 14 tells us that. It's 2 days before. 4 days have passed between verse 1 and verse 2. There they made him a supper. Who made him a supper? Well, we're not told exactly, but we know where that supper was held. It was held in the house of Simon the leper, not in the house of Mary and Martha, although they lived in Bethany. They came and they helped this man to help serve the Lord Jesus a meal, and Simon the leper. And there we read, Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary, now we know who the woman was that gave this costly ointment, took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet. She poured it on his feet as well. So she not only poured it on his head, but she also poured it on his feet. That's beautiful to see that. And this leper, Simon, is watching this whole event. What a blessing it was to him. There were two people that were miraculously healed at that meal, Simon the leper and Lazarus. And you say, wow, this is an amazing meal. Leprosy healed. A man rises from the dead, 4 days being in the grave. Wow. This shows the power of the Lord Jesus. And Mary pours this ointment because she has knowledge that he's going to die on the cross. It says the house was filled with the fragrance. But one of his disciples, now we know the complainer, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Did you get that? Judas Iscariot, Simon's son? Well, we're not told if it's Simon the leper, but I'd like to infer it might be. What does that say about Judas Iscariot? If that's his father, in his own family, he witnessed a miracle with his own father. He saw God's great power demonstrated through the Lord Jesus Christ, again with the assumption that this Simon is the same one in Mark 14. And it says here, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him. What a sad thing. And I believe when we think about the miracle that was performed to this man, Simon the leper, what a testimony. He was restored to his family. I wonder what impact his leprosy may have had on Judas Iscariot, his son. You know, all those years. Maybe he was like, well, I can hardly believe in a God. If a God is a love, why would he do this to my father? You can all hear the victimization, you know. I once heard somebody say, well, I can't believe in God because this world is full of hate and full of sin, and I can't believe that there's a God of love. I said, wait a minute, let me ask you something. If you committed a crime and you stood before a judge, would you turn to the judge and say, I can't believe in you, judge, because you're going to condemn me, and I'm only here because of you, and you're the one to blame for the reason I committed my crime. Imagine that. And so it is. So Judas Iscariot, he had these experiences, perhaps, and yet he rejected the Lord. And it's a great warning for us. You know, the Lord can demonstrate his miraculous power in the life of another. What impact should it have on the one who sees it? Are they going to be like Mary and adore the Lord Jesus, the healer, the one who can raise the dead? Or are they going to be like Judas Iscariot? He's the one who betrays the Lord. You know, he was really never a real convert. He really didn't give his heart and life over to the Lord. He tagged along. You know, there are people that like to hang out with the Christians, but they're not real. They tag along. Outwardly, you wouldn't know the difference. They can sing all the hymns. They can come to all the meetings. They can pray like you can't imagine. But in the heart, they're ready to betray the Lord. And that's Judas Iscariot. So which are we? Are we Mary, who adores the Lord, not only pours the ointment on his head, both in Matthew and Mark, but she also pours it on his feet. And she does something else even. I think it's so precious. She takes that hair which is her glory, she gets on her knees, and she wipes his feet with her hair. What a sign of a worship on her part. She sets aside her glory, as it were, to glorify him. And she does it with the knowledge that he's going to go to the cross and give his life. And she's preparing his body in advance. Yes, Joseph of Arimathea and his companion Nicodemus, when they took the body of the Lord off the cross, they risked their lives for doing so, and they buried him, and they also used ointments. But the Lord gives glory to her for her sacrifice. May we be like Mary. May we be not like Judas. May the Lord help us. What a wonderful thing that the Lord healed an 11th leper. We know him by name, and perhaps he is the father of Judas. I don't want to say for sure, but I would just say there seems to be a clear link between the two passages. So may the Lord help us. Let's pray. Our loving God and Father, we do thank thee that thy Son, the Lord Jesus, can heal the leper spots. No one else can. And we know that leprosy speaks of sin, and we know that only he can cleanse us from our sin. So we thank thee that there were those that are recorded, those that were appreciative of their healing, those that would go on to serve like Simon the leper and open his home to bless the disciples of the Lord Jesus and even the Lord's own heart. And so we just pray that we be like that. We would be like Mary also to adore him, and not like Judas. So we just commit that to thee. We thank thee for thy word. We ask that add thy blessing to it as we leave. And we also pray for the remainder of our day that thou watch over each one. We pray this in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.